this week at this time, we've been telling the stories of young people who grew up in the care system in Berkshire as part of our project called Handle With Care. We've worked with young people from our area for several months. As well as hearing their stories, we've been running creative writing workshops, that kind of thing, to help them express themselves, to help them tell their own stories, because sometimes writing it down, and perhaps writing it down as a poem, can help you come to terms with what has happened to you. The project culminated in a wonderful evening of poetry and performance last Friday. And this is just a taste of what we heard there.
We've come here tonight to get a sense of what it feels like to live your life in lots of many different families. I know how important it is for children in care to have a voice. And in some of the material that you'll hear tonight, you'll hear young people talking about having a bit more freedom and having a bit more say. And there's lots of themes around being protected and sometimes feeling too protected.
Hey, yo, listen what I say, yo.
I believe in knowing the truth, in independence, in having my own pet, in just one social worker and not too much protection. I believe in trees and not paperwork. I believe in confidence, trust. I believe that loss may happen and change, but good and bad. I believe in foster parents who do it for more than money, in the right to stay with friends, in permission to go out to parties, and I believe in coming home.
You're the storm in the sky, you're the tornado in the night, you're the rain in the morning, you're the head to the light. You're the tsunami in the sea, you're the devil's blue, you're the person I hate, I miss hating you.
The more I see, the less I know, the more I like to let it go.
We are the kids in care. We hope you know we have feelings too. For all children to have a right for their voices to be heard, to go for sleepovers without filling in forms. All children to have friends without having to check in with your social worker and carer. Let children be children. Freedom to buy your own clothes. Freedom to say what you want. For all fights to be forgiven and forgotten. All children should be loved. All children to be worthy of trust.
Our social worker, who aren't in office, give me this day good care from my real family. Lead me not away from them to a placement in Manchester. Forgive me my self-harm because I can't help it, though I can't forgive you. Deliver me from meetings when people talk over me, for yours is the power, the people and the paperwork forever and ever.
Just as powerful, I think, when you hear people expressing their experiences and their thoughts, and you really see into how they feel about it when you hear it done through poetry and performance and that kind of stuff. Author and journalist Paolo Hewitt was brought up in care himself, and they came along to talk to the guys last Friday with me in the studio. Hi, Paolo.
Hi there.
Just hear you enjoying it again there. You're listening to some of the stuff that you...
I really thought they were very powerful. And I really like their creativity behind it, you know, to adopt the Our Father prayer. I thought was brilliant.
There is something, it's hard to put your finger on what it is. There is something powerful about expressing your thoughts through a poem or a performance or something like that.
Yeah.
And yet a lot of people find it much easier to let their feelings out that way rather than just to sort of sit and talk about it, because we're not very good at sitting and talking about how we feel about things.
Well, yeah, maybe what you mean as a nation. Yeah, the English aren't very garrulous, are they? But I also think that it's, you know, I mean, what happens to children in care? You know, those issues are so deep, you know, that it's very, you know, it's poetry and art, it's a great outlet for, you know, to start dealing with those kind of feelings of abandonment or unloved. One of the things I thought that kept on coming up was paperwork. They kept talking about paperwork all the time, didn't they?
I've got this as well, just from, you know, spending some time with people. That I think everyone feels that, the system, the social workers are fundamentally good people on their side doing great work, but there's something about the bureaucracy of it, about the meetings, about the paperwork, about how the fact that your social worker changes about every 8 days, that gets in the way of them being able to do a good job for you.
Sure. I mean, I actually think social workers get a really bad deal, to be honest with you. If they mess up once, it's all over the front pages, but no one ever talks
about it. Brilliant work every day of the week and no one ever mentions it. Yeah, exactly. Tell me a bit of your own story about growing up in care and how you feel about that now as an adult.
I'm actually very, very positive about my children's home. I got a really unique education there, and I learned a lot about loyalty, about friendship. You know, I feel like I was given something. I was given courage. There was this one kid who was there once, and we used to go to the they had this boiler room. We used to sneak in there for a cigarette when we shouldn't be doing that. And he said to me one day, you know, basically, you know, things can't get much worse than this. You know, whatever you want to do in life, go and do it, because, you know, it can't be worse than this.
So in some ways you can find strength through it.
Absolutely,
you can cope with that, you can cope with anything.
It was what I was trying to say last Friday, that, you know, you have to turn the negative into a positive. You know, you have to do that, you know, otherwise you're going to fall by the wayside, you know.
Because in some ways, I mean, well, this is too fanciful a comparison, in some ways, you know, the richest people around put their kids into boarding school, which has a lot of similarities.
Well, funny, it's really funny, it's strange you should mention that. When I published my book, The Looked After Kid, you know, I had loads of people who had been in care writing to me, which was great, saying how much I'd kind of captured their thing. But I had a lot of people who'd been in boarding schools.
It's the
same thing.
Character building in the same way, and to be fair, can also destroy people in the same
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. You know, you're wondering why your parents, you know, at least they got two parents, but they're wondering why, if some days it's worse because you've got two parents and you're thinking, why have they put me here? Why aren't I with them? You know, in other countries, I mean, I have family in Italy and they think boarding schools or whatever is crazy. You know, they never let their family.
What about relations that you have with your birth family? Because you ended up in care because your mum wouldn't have you adopted, is that right?
Yeah, she was a long-term patient in a hospital in East Grinstead, and so I was taken away from her after just 2 days, and I was put into a nursery, and then I was fostered by this woman who made Cruella de Vil look like Florence Nightingale. I mean, she was a nightmare, this woman, and I had 6 years with her, and it was just...
6 years?
Yeah, it was horrendous. And you see, the trouble was at that point, because we're talking about the 60s, that the social workers were much more... focused on the foster parents rather than the child. So my social worker would come and see me and spend 5 minutes with me and 2 hours with her, because they wanted to make sure that she was all right and that, you know, so that I wouldn't have to go into care, which was more expensive, you know. So it was all focused on her rather than on the child.
It must have felt you made you feel valued, that, you know, they were bothered about, you know, was she okay, rather than anyone worrying about whether you were okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was very, you know, it was... You know, at seven, I thought, my God, you know, the world's abandoned me. I really felt that, you know, bad about it. And, of course, I could never live up to what she wanted me to be. You know, when you try and... She'd had this brother who was a brilliant guy. He was an RAF pilot, and he'd got a first at Cambridge and all this stuff. And she was trying to make... He died. He died when he was 24 in his accident, and she was trying to make me be him, which you can't do with a child.
No,
you know?
Sure. We're going to hear now from one or two of the performers from last Friday, Michael, and also the man we met earlier in the week who helped run our workshops, poet Lem Sisse.
Expressing yourself through poetry and lyrics, it's like a new way of getting your voice heard and, like, wanting people to know how you feel and how other people and kids in care feel as well. Don't just sit in the corner and keep yourself and your feelings to yourself. Get out there, express yourself. Use music and poetry to be an inspiration to yourself and inspire other people to do the same.
It's great to see them scribbling away poems that matter to them. I mean, I saw one person come out of the workshop and she gave her poem to her foster mother, who broke down in tears because it was so beautiful. I mean, there were tears and there was laughter and there was joy and there was literature, and I couldn't be more happy.
Pretty emotional, you know.
Yeah.
For the people themselves, perhaps, you know, thinking about how they feel and then trying to express it and find the words.
Well, one of the things that... you see, when I was in care, I was really into reading and writing. And one of the things that both those activities do is that they place you in the present. You're not thinking about the past or the future. You're actually in the present. And that's what writing does, you know. Instead of a kid sitting there thinking about the terrible things that have gone on in the past, if they're writing out their feelings, then they're actually in the present, and that can bring some great, you know, beauty and emotion, as obviously we heard there.
So what sort of stuff did you want to express, did, you know, came to the bubbling to the surface for you about this, you know, nightmare with a foster mum and trying to trace your dad and all those things that have gone on in your story?
Well, I had to wait until I was much better as a writer. I kind of knew that. I kind of knew that I'd have to wait until I was... Because what I wanted to do, there's these kind of books where they're very, you know, like Dave Pelch and all that, and they're really badly written. I mean, God bless anybody who writes a book, but I didn't want to write a book like that. I wanted to write something where it had more understanding to it, more depth, and I knew I had to... So when I was 40 is when I started writing the book, and it came out in 2001, 2002. I got a really good reaction. But my favourite reaction was that kids in care rang me up and said, you know, I was in care and you've captured exactly how it was.
What, were there particular things that you wrote that made them say, that bit?
Yeah.
Page 89, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuff about relationships, you know, fear of intimacy, trust, the camaraderie that develops amongst kids in children's homes, you know, those kind of issues really were the ones.
Paolo's with us this morning, Paolo Hewitt. We're going to talk to Polly Faulkner as well about an exhibition which is going to feature some of the work that has come out of this project of young people growing up in care in a second or two in Reading, if you're interested in finding out more about that. Stay with us. It is always interesting to hear the stories of people who've had very interesting lives. Sometimes bad things have happened, sometimes good things have happened, but these are stories that are never told. That's the thing that unites them, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, I think that's right, and I think... children, there's a new term in health and social care called seldom heard voices.
Right.
And that's for lots of different groups that you don't hear from, and children in care, of course, are one of those groups.
What's come out of the stories for you? What are the sort of themes that you take away from the people that you've spent time with? Because I've got some, but you've spent a lot more time, to be fair, with some of the young people in care. So what have you learned?
I think one of the things that have come out is the number of positive experiences. I think that people often see care as being a very negative thing, but it's been clear from a lot of the young people that we've worked with that they've had positive experiences, and they wouldn't change a lot of those experiences. But there are also issues around attitudes to social workers. You know, and I think everyone that we've spoken to have said they're doing a great job, but there's just not enough of them, or there's too much paperwork. You know,
but they're good people trying doing their best, all that kind of stuff.
Doing their best, absolutely. And as a former foster carer myself, I was a foster carer for 6 years. It's been quite interesting for me hearing children say, you know, I want to wear odd socks, but if I wear odd socks, my foster carers are accused of not looking after me properly. But actually, all my friends wear odd socks, and those are the things that are important.
Paolo?
Yeah. I had a brilliant social worker. I owe a lot of my, a lot to her. She kind of, she was an American woman, and she kind of brought my family together. She worked year after year to kind of bring us all back together. And the fact is, now I have two sisters I can go and visit any time, and you know, it's all really great between us, and it's because of the work that she did.
I mean, one thing that I found quite surprising from spending some time with social workers is that not everyone is supportive of what they do. Not everyone in their own families is supportive. Not everyone in their neighbourhoods are supportive. So, again, the sort of stereotyped reaction to hearing foster parents, these people must be saints.
It's the bad press they receive. I mean, they have made bad mistakes, but, you know, we all make mistakes. And, you never get the Daily Mail and says on the front cover, social worker does amazing job with child in care.
Absolutely. I think that's right. And I think often as well, we forget the system within those reporting. So we attribute it to an individual social worker. But if there's not enough people, if there is all this bureaucracy, if there are all these policies, and you're trying to do a good job, and you've got all these other things to do, then it's not the individual's fault when it goes wrong.
Sure. I mean, is there, I'll ask both of you this, is there stuff that could change about the system that isn't about, you know, spending billions more pounds? Is there other ways in which the system to support looked after children could be changed to make it better?
Well, I would have thought so, given the kind of terrible statistics. I mean, I read somewhere that it is expected that a child in care will only get one GCSE. That is the average standard. Well, that's just unacceptable, I think. And I think a lot more has to be done. I was brought up in care in the 70s, and that's a a very different beast to what it is now, and I think there's been huge improvements. You know, the children's home I was in, there was 20, 25 kids, and those kind of homes don't really exist anymore, which is a good thing.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, children's homes are smaller. I think on the whole, foster carers are well supported.
Yeah.
What I think could change, though, I think, is the support that social workers get from the authorities themselves, so that you don't have this constant turnover. I think recruitment and retention has a huge impact on the morale of social workers. I have
some often last a couple of years, and then they just literally can't hack it anymore.
Can't hack it anymore, and I think, you know, it's the social workers that really need the support.
And then there is a knock-on effect from that. One of the things I struggled with was the fact that my children's home, members of staff would come and go. I would get close to a member of staff, I'd come home, and they would be gone, and that would be like a father figure or an elder brother figure. And the same with social workers. Luckily, my social workers stayed with me, but I knew kids who were being moved from home to home, who were getting different social workers all the time. And if there's no consistency in your life, you know.
Well, there's a lot of good buying going on. You know, if you already feel rejected or
right.
bereft of your own birth family, to have all these people who come into your life and then drift off
and
all
then
the
go.
Time.
And they don't drift off, they disappear like that. It's a bit like Star Trek, they get beamed up. you don't know where they've gone.
Suddenly.
Planet Zargog or somewhere.
They were gone.
There's a planet out there with all these social workers on somewhere, I don't know.
Tell us about this exhibition, Polly, because this is an exhibition at Reading Museum. We've collected loads of material together during the course of the project. Tell us a bit about how that's being turned into something people can go and see.
Yeah, no, this is really exciting, because what we've done in partnership with Reading Borough Council is that we're providing an exhibition which tells the stories of children and young people who grew up in care, so that many of them have provided objects and then short stories that are attached to those objects, which will be featured in cabinets. But there's also fostering facts and all sorts of things. Really, really powerful things. You know, there's going to be things like, you know, Bibles, baby Bibles that people were given, they've carried with them throughout into adulthood, and lots of really interesting stories. Birthday cards are things that say, "You're the best mum I ever had," which tells the story of a young man who's had lots of mums. So I think it's going to be an incredible exhibition. It starts next Thursday at 4 o'clock at Reading Museum, and it'll be running for a little while.
Lots of themes come out of the stories we've heard, the experiences I've had over the course of the week, what we've picked up from everyone who's been involved in this, and it's time now to put some of them to the man who has some power to change things, the Minister for Children and Families, Tim Loughton, who's live on BBC Radio Berkshire. Hi, Tim.
Morning, Andrew.
I mean, the point of this was to give young people growing up in care a voice through creative writing, through telling their stories, through spending some time with them. And what I tell you what the most resounding theme to come out of it is, these people think no one ever listens to them. You know, they're gobsmacked that anyone would want to hear their stories, because no one ever has before.
Well, let me say first of all, I think it's a really good job that BBC Berkshire have done in highlighting the whole issue of fostering, and fostering fortnight is a really important way of raising the profile. And I hear what you say, and that's why in the last year we've actually done quite a lot around children in the care system, and that particularly means dealing and listening to and working with the children themselves. And I've got a group of young people in foster care who come and see me every few months. They came to see me just a few weeks ago and tell me what's going on exactly as it is. It's why also we're very keen on promoting these children in care councils up and down the country, where children in foster care and residential homes in the care system can come together with others and say, look, this isn't going right locally, then work with the local authorities, put pressure on them to get a better deal for children in care. And I've been meeting with a lot of people on those children in care councils. But also, can I just say one thing I set up a couple of months ago? We've got a specific part of the website for the Department for Education called Tell Tim, Me the Minister, where kids in the care system can email me directly to say, look, we've got a problem, this isn't working, or where things are working, there's examples of good practices as well. It's a direct line into Me the Minister responsible for the care system.
This is what foster parents have been telling us. They say, yeah, what we could do with is being able to, you know, get a child in our care's haircut without needing to seek permission and fill in a form. Allow them to go on a school trip with their schoolmates without there being so much bureaucracy. By the time the paperwork's done, we miss the school trip by a week.
Yep.
That kind of stuff.
It's a big myth. most of this...
Well, this is what foster parents have told me this week.
I know, and they need to know that this is a big myth, and they need to tell me if they're still having problems with it. I've had a lot of this over the last few years, and I've obviously had a lot of parents who write to me directly, and it is a nonsense that a foster parent should have to get special permission to do a haircut or sleepovers is another...
But you accept that does happen? That is what they're told by local councils, you know, this week?
It is happening in some places, and it shouldn't be happening. And I specifically, last summer, I wrote to every single local authority in the country, and I said to them very clearly, and I've said it time and time again, and it's on our website and everywhere else, that foster parents should be able to look after children in their care no differently to as if they were their own birth parents, and only unless there are very special reasons which should be set down when the child is placed with them at the outset should they need to get special permission for these things. Otherwise, for goodness sake, get their hair cut. You don't need to get somebody CRB checked out of sight for your child just going to spend a sleepover. And it's really important that children who find themselves in the care system through no fault of their own should have as normal and conventional family life as possible. So this is not the law. It's certainly nothing that I've put out, and I've made it very clear to everybody involved that you don't need to do this sort of thing. And if the local authority is telling you that, then tell them to come and speak to me. And that's why we also set up the Foster Carers Charter, which I launched in March, which sets out very clearly the rights and responsibilities and principles behind foster carers and what they should expect from the local authorities.
Next, then, on to social workers. Mm-hmm. I could tell you about what people have said about social workers, but this is about the young people themselves having a voice. So this is what Samina told us about social workers.
My personal view of social services is that every social worker I've had has been so different, and the turnover of social services has been so vast over the period that I've been in care, so I didn't know which one I had. Like, it felt like, oh, Monday, what am I going to have today? Tuesday, am I going to have a different social worker today? So it felt like I was repeating myself quite a lot and handing over my case onto another social worker and then onto another social worker. They want to gain the trust in a social worker because they're trying to help you. But with the massive turnover that they get, I don't think they do. Hence why probably 50% or even more have a bad experience with them.
What do you say to Samina, different social worker every day of the week?
She's absolutely right, and it shouldn't happen, and it's the worst thing that can happen.
But it is happening routinely.
It's happening routinely because at the moment we have a crisis in the social work profession. We have big vacancies in parts of the country. It's all 20% vacancy rates. We have a big turnover. We have too many social workers who are constantly chasing their tail with too many cases. And it's got worse since the baby P situation a few years ago.
Because the number of cases has gone up, because more gets referred to social workers since baby P.
We've got a very large number of children in the care system. It's gone up to about 64,500 children in the care system. So everyone's being stretched. Now, I've recognised this, and we set up last year a review under Professor Eileen Munro to look at the whole way that we do children's social work and child protection. She just produced her report just a couple of weeks ago, which is a fantastic report, which I'm now looking to see how we can take forward in practice. And it starts with making the whole thing centred on the child. And Samina's right. The trouble is we've spent so much time and so much money in the last few years constructing this great system for social workers, particularly in the child protection angle, and it's become rather more about protecting the system and losing sight of the fact that social workers went into the profession to protect children and families and work with those children and families, and you need to actually work with them face-to-face, and we're getting social workers to spend up to 80% of their time in front of computer screens, filling in forms. That's a nonsense. I want social workers out on the street working with kids in care on a regular basis so they know the same person is there, they'll turn up to appointments, and they can get a better deal for the children they're looking after.
When you see, I've got to say, Tim, you seem pretty in touch with the issues that we're hearing about. Are you actually doing something to change this stuff, though?
That's exactly what I am doing. I've just listed a whole lot of things I've done in the last year. We've now got this report that was produced just 2 weeks ago, and I've put together a group of experts, of people from local authorities, from the health service, from education, everybody else, to see how we can put it into practice. We had a first meeting of that group just earlier this week, and I shall be reporting to Parliament in 2 weeks' time with a debate specifically on child protection and what we're going to do to improve it. And I've been out there as well. This is just something we just dream up from the ivory towers in Westminster. And last year I spent a week being a social worker up in Stockport, going out on the front line with social workers, seeing the pressures they're up against day in, day out.
One more theme that's come out of the stories this week. week, Tim. When a looked after children gets to 16 or 18, the whole system just dumps them and leaves them to fend for themselves. So many people have told us that.
Yep. All these things I've heard, and I know they're a problem, and we are trying to do things to solve them. And you're absolutely right. When a child becomes 16, has gone through the care system, you don't wake up on your 16th birthday and all of a sudden all of the challenges that you've had, all the baggage you may have had from the past, sort of suddenly disappear and you can go out to the big wide world on your own. And yet I think it's about 40% of children in the care system, when they reach the age of 16, leave care and they go out and fend for themselves. Now, I've got a 16-year-old, and I don't think he can go out to the big wide world, even with the support network of having a family there as well. And yet we're expecting a lot of particularly vulnerable kids to go out to the big wide world and fend for themselves, and it's just not appropriate. And it's a false economy, because they're going to, you know, fall off a log, and they're going to be problems. So we've got Staying Put Pilots, it's called. This is a scheme where children can be supported in care for longer, flexibly as well. And some kids are much more resourceful at being able to be independent, but they need a safety net, so they've got that support mechanism when things go pear-shaped. And I want to expand those that experience, and we put some more money into doing that. But it's crazy. We let kids go off far too early.
Got to stop you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank
very
you.
Good to talk.
Well,
that's
what you've done.
Thank you very much. That's the Minister for Children and Families, Tim Loughton, on BBC Radio Berkshire. Convinced? Guys in the studio, finally. Holly, Paolo, looking slightly circumspect. You're kind of nodding and smiling like he's saying the right stuff.
Yeah, totally.
But
the proof is in the pudding.
Thanks very much indeed for being part of the project.
Thank you.
Handle with Care on BBC Radio Berkshire.